Amor de Zora da Fural from an Alf. And it begins Yom HaLeda V'Yom HaMitza. So that's a reference to the Mishnah earlier on Chesam and Alf. That said, V'Elu Yidem Shalom Dik V'Chorim. They give a list of what were common holidays of that time, like Alchus holidays. And it would name Kalanda, Strin, Stranura. And then it mentions these gems. Yom HaLeda V'Yom HaMitza. So these will come up that when the king is in power, so then they're going to celebrate his birthday. And when he dies, they celebrate the anniversary of his death. So, different man. The mayor says that's a rule, and each new king triggers these halachas, the day of birth and the day of death. The Chachamim Omrim, they limit the Yom HaMisa. And they say, Kol Misa Sheyesh Ba Shreifa, Yesh Ba Avodas Chachamim. V'Sheim Ba Shreifa, Ein Ba Avodas Chachamim. So they say that there was a custom, after a king would die, they would burn his equipment, whatever that covers, certain the clothing, things that he used, and out of respect, that as if to say that if he can't use it, nobody else is worthy of using it, it should be burnt. And the Chachamim say that if they did that, then we assume that that day of the death is going to be celebrated as a day of. But if not, not. So the Gemara begins as follows. Gemara says, Michal, so the assumption would then be that Ramea doesn't differentiate. Ramea holds that the day the man died, the day the king died, that day is celebrated, or that day is venerated. It always sounds funny when you say they're celebrating the day he died. Doesn't mean they would be happy that he's dead, or maybe sometimes it does. But they're celebrating his life, they're commemorating his life on the day of his death. So Ramea does not distinguish between whether or not they did this other custom of burning his arms. So the Gemara says, Mechad Ramea Sava, Loshna Misa Shiesh Basarefa, Loshna Misa Shem Basarefa, Pachim Balavaydiskevav. It's a clear deduction. He said Yom HaMitza is one of the days where that, which triggers the halachas of Yom Yideim, so you can't do things, you can't sell them animals and all the things that we learned earlier in the parak. You can't do the, that might simulate the possibility of someone, you facilitating them bringing a carbon. So we say, since Ramea doesn't distinguish, and the Chacham would say only if there was a Shreifa, so it would seem to me that Ramea holds either way. Yom HaMitza, that's all you need to know. Alma, so we can deduce from there that Shreifa lav chukahi, that Ramea holds that Shreifa, that the custom of burning his articles of clothing, etc., that that custom does not qualify as a chukah. The chukah is some kind of ceremonial activity of Goyim that enters a category of prohibition, because the Torah says of the chukoseim loyselef. The Torah says that the behaviors of the Goyim that rise to the level of chukah, those should not be imitated by Jews. The problem is, what exactly constitutes chukah? So the Gemara, without making an explanation of what is a chukah and what isn't a chukah in broad terms, is deducing that shreifa, this custom of burning the articles, would not count as a chukah. And that's why Ramea is not somehow concerned with it. So it's really a problematic deduction the Gemara is making seems like kind of a weak deduction, because Ramea says that would be more severe. The death of the king, that's enough. And that triggered this custom of instituting a holiday. So how does that show you that he doesn't hold the tray for being significant? It seems like it's a weak deduction. If he holds the mitzvah so significant, it doesn't matter whether or not they did the shreifah. The mitzvah itself, that's the trigger for the holiday. But the Gemara deduces no. If Rebbeinu holds that that's not the issue, then must be he holds it's not significant enough to be a chum. So, alright, so we start with that, what seems like a weak deduction. Then we go, Mechalad Rabbanu Savri, shreifah chuki. We can deduce that the Chachamim hold that burning is on the level of a chukah. It reaches that level of endemic ceremony, cultural activity that the Torah proscribes on the basis of a chukah, same way to that. So again, problematic. Because instead of saying right away that for the fact that the Chachamim say that the thing to look at is whether they're burning the article. There would seem to be that burning the article is very significant, yeah. And that which would seem to provide the basis of chukka. Again, we haven't really defined chukka, but more or less my understanding is something important enough to be involved in this avodas chachamim process. It would seem like a much stronger deduction to say, well, the chachamim who introduced faith must hold that it's a chukka. Instead, number one, we make a weak deduction on Ramea that he must not hold it to chukka, which doesn't seem that strong. And then, secondarily, by the time we get to the Chachamim, we seem to mainly, instead of visiting the Chachamim on their own terms and saying, oh, it looks like they hold it to chukka, we say, well, since they're not going like Ramea and they are going like this, so much do they hold it to chukka. We demand two mechalals. Firstly, mechalal Ramea Savri Shlamit, and then they go mechalal Rabbanan Savri Shefer Chukah, as if somehow it's dependent on the Ramea piece. So, but even if you read it not like that, even let's say we read it that these two mechalals are completely in parallel, but not really leading one into the other. But then what's the kasha? We want to say Mechalad Rabban Savri Serifah Chuki, but how could that be? But Tanya, didn't we learn Serifah Na'am Alachim? We learned that it's permitted for Jews also to burn the articles of the departed kings. And it's not considered the ways of the Amari, and it's permitted. The Chuki, if you tell me that it's a Chukah, that the way the Goyim practice it is on the level of Chukah, and not Hechi Sarfin, how could we be involved in the same practice? The Torah says we shouldn't be doing any practice that they do on the level of chukah. So now again, we this kasha would have been a lot stronger if we hadn't started with what seemed like the weak deduction in Ramea, because by eliminating Ramea, that Ramea holds straight for not a chukah, we now made it a machlokes tanaim. If we would have started out, a lot of Gemaras that we're familiar with are structured in a way that would make the kasha much stronger. We would start out by saying like this: My lav the kuliyama savri sefer chuki. That probably, if the chacham holds sefer the chuki, probably may also admit sefer the chuki, but he just doesn't hold that when they don't do it, that it means that they're not celebrating the Yom HaMitzvah either. They didn't do that chukka straight from, they could still do the Yom HaMitzvah. So, but that would be the way to lead in. Then everybody holds straight for the chukka. What's shouted is bracha that says straight for not a chukka. But now we started, before we even got to the Rabbanan who holds it is, we already identified a town who holds it isn't. So, and then we say, how can the Rabbanan hold it is? I is a bracha. Well, the bracha is remaining. So again, that's a kasha in its own right. You know, why doesn't the Gemara answer how money remains? But it seems like the self-inflicted wound. by setting it up, we walk into that problem. We weaken the casa because of our setup. So clearly something's going on here that's significant. Now Rashi says here, Alma. So what was the original deduction in Rav Meir? Rashi says, Alma, is the Lord telling Rav Meir time of Bitsrefa? Alma lav choy kar de kacham for the same of as kacham. So he says, from the fact that Rav Meir did not make this halacha contingent on Tzrefa, that shows you that Tzrefa is not a chupa. Again, very hard to follow that logic. Why can't you say Tzrefa is a chupa, but the Yom HaMisa is a bigger chupa? And the Yom HaMisa, that's inviolable. Sometimes we'll go with Tzrefa, sometimes we won't go with Tzrefa, but the Yom HaMisa, that we never draw. But that, the Gemara doesn't consider that. The Gemara says, from the fact that he bypassed the opportunity to use Yama Tzrefa as the key, that shows us that Tzrefa might not be a chukah. Really, why not? And then, not only that, Rashi even shows you the Rabbanan, because instead of making a separate Alma on the Rabbanan, which I raised earlier, the possibility, maybe the Rabbanan is a whole new line, he doesn't. Rashi makes it slow from Ramey. The Rabbanan, the Tolo Tamayu Boch. So, the truth is, it probably shouldn't even be dots in this Rashi. It probably should really be all the same Rashi. But even if there are dots, but this Rashi is written as an extension of the other Rashi, because when you say Boch, you have to refer back. But what do you mean, Boch? Boch what? So, he only used the word straight from the first Rashi. So, what Rashi set up a whole thing where the main alma is in Ramea. Again, the way he's good in the Gemara, because the Gemara is written that way. We just didn't understand why the Gemara chose to write it that way. But the way the Gemara is written, it actually flows very well. That the main deity is in Ramea. So, Ramea doesn't say that it depends on Tzrefa. Well, wow, he must hold it's not a chukah. And there's, of course, Rabbanan will hold that. It is telling Tzrefa, they'll hold that it's a chukah. But it flows from Ramea. So Rashi, and rather than papering over the problem in the Gemara, he highlighted it. So he doesn't really answer it for us yet, but at least he shows us to take it to. He's, you know, that is how to read the Gemara. So it is interesting. A very valuable aspect of this Rashi is that he is giving us some language to understand what the Gemara means when they say chukah. So he says that chayka oydek yechavim. It's a ceremony of those who are idolaters, and it's l'shem avodas zarah. So Rashi defines that the level of chukah is not just practices of non-Jewish cultures, or even practices of idolatrous non-Jewish cultures. That doesn't qualify. So if a non-Jewish culture has, you know, Independence Day, that there's a certain type of holidays that appear in every society, more or less. So the Independence Day of an idolatrous culture, let's say, that's not an idol. Who says that's a chukah? Only if they do it the same of others become. You know, they have to practice it in a way that the religion is built in. So if you have a real separation of church and state in a country, that should wall these off from the halachas every day. Or chukah, even, I'm saying. Even if chukah is saying moisilechu, so in other words, my father stopped me from lighting a spark on July 4th. And he was machmir. But and maybe by the time you get to halacha, maybe it should be machmir. But at least in this stage, in the Rashi, you see, and this sugya is understanding, no. A chukah would have to be that there would be some kind of a religious element. Maybe if in the Congress they get up and they have to have an invocation from a minister before you can actually celebrate the day or something like that. I don't know exactly what rises to the level of Amar Dizar. But the point is that the standard would be it's a ceremonial activity of this society, but this idolatrous society, and it's founded some way, if it's some clear way, apparently, there's linkages, there's language, there's things in the ceremony that tell us that it's the same avodah zarah. That's what defines sukkah. Again, Tosfos, other Rishonim, this is what we're focusing on, Rashi's way of approaching. So Rashi understands that, that's what the Gemara, in asking this question and in trying to identify which Tana holds it is a chukka, which Tana holds it isn't a chukka, this is the standard. It's a behavior of the Arctic Chum society, and it has a shame of Arctic Chum built into that term. So, that, yeah. That's what the way Rashi is saying it, and so the Gemara is saying, somehow in these deductions, the Gemara sees that the Meir holds it isn't, the Chum holds it is. And then they ask, how could the Chum hold it is? What about that Bratzel? Because for some reason, the Chum are considered responsible to deal with that Bratzel. So then we have another interesting thing. That in the Bratzel said, made a statement. The Bratzel said, Serfin Allah Malachim, the Loimi Dachemar, is permitted to burn for Jewish king, and it should not be taken. It should not be seen as one of the ways of the Amari that we don't adopt. So along comes Rashi and says that that's not what we're asking from. We're not asking from that phrase "v'loimi dachi Amari." That's not the basis of our custom. Because "v'loimi dachi Amari" has nothing to do with chukah. Rashi says "v'loimi dachi Amari." Ain't no midachi Amari lochus le'loisasa kamatzim. Rashi says that the Dashi Hamari is nothing to do with Fukusam. Fukusam is one Avayim the Torah. And which he defined as the same Avayim Kacham. But then there's a lower level than that of Dashi Hamari, Laisasa Kamasam, which is an earlier pasuk that's in Shemois. If the Brash has nothing to do with Fukusam, why is the Gemara bringing it? Because you can deduce from that, right? If we're saying it's not even that other thing. The Daki Hamari, which is another lower category that includes superstitious behavior, maybe it includes the life form, right? So, if Lasasa Kamatseim, if it's not that, it's certainly not Chukka. And in fact, it's Meduik like Rashi in the Gemara. So again, Rashi learned that when Rashi is Volemi Dachi Hamari, that's a reference to a different prohibition, a lighter prohibition, or actually a prohibition that's easy to fall into. It's a lighter activity, but it covers more. So, where did Rashi come up with that? The truth is, the Gemara bears him out, because the Gemara says, Latani Sherfin Allah Malachim Volemi Dachi Hamari. If Dachi Hamari and Chukah Tseim are the same thing, the Gemara could just stop there. We're smart enough to understand that if you have a bride that says it's not a chukka, let me dash my mind, it's not a chukka. But instead, the Gemara goes on and says, "V'y chukka he, anan hechi sarfino, v'aksiva b'chukka tseim lo yitzelecho." But if it's a chukka, how could you do it? And they bring the parsi b'chukka tseim lo yitzelecho. So it sounds clearly, like the Rashi, that the bride is not talking about chukka. It's not talking about b'chukka tseim lo yitzelecho. It's referring to a separate Easter. In Dachi Amari, which comes from elsewhere. And so, Rashi helps us out by finding us a pasuk in the Chumash that we can cover it. But, the point is that the Gemara is asking from a deduction, not from the actual text. Not that there's a brisa that says that it's not chukka, but there's a brisa that says it's not even Dachi Amari. So if it was a chukka, it would be certainly awesome. And the language of the Gemara bears out the Rashi very well. So when you read the Gemara, the Rashi seems solid with the Gemara. Now the problem is that Rashi openly says not like that in Masechet Shabbos. Masechet Shabbos, the Samal Zion, where the Mishnah says, Yotzin, Bebetzis, Tarnago, Achargo, sorry, B'Shein Shul, there's certain things that apparently are more than just good luck charms to walk around with a fox tooth. I think more is tied than you do with a hound tooth. But Mishum Rafur, Divra Meir. Meir says you could do it for a fool. But Chachamim, Eishim, Af, Bechamim, Shemdaki, Amari. Meir is talking on Shabbos and says that it's enough of a refuah that you allow to do it on Shabbos. The Chachamim say, forget about Shabbos, you're not allowed to do it, period. Dachi Amari. So Rashi says, what's Dachi Amari? Nichushu. It's some kind of a superstition. Maybe has a little sorcery involved. And it comes under the cover of Bechukasim Oshelechu. So you have an open Rashi on what would be the major Mishnah in Shas on Dachi Amari, because Gemara uses this as the launching point to discuss all the different cases, the different behaviors that constitute Dachi Amari, or according to some opinions, others. And in that place, Rashi, Dachi Amari is Bechukasim. But over here, he said it's clearly not like that, and we saw the Gemara also fit with his language here. So it's really odd that he did that in Shabbos. So we have already one stira. The Rashi here is, which we found basis for in the Gemara, but it's a stira to the Rashi in Shabbos. But the truth is that it seems also to be a stira to the Rashi in Sanhedrin as well. And over there, they're using our very same brisa about burning the articles of the king. What the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Afnun Beis Amud Beis, that the Chachamim hold, the Chacham of Rabbi Yehuda over there, the Chachamim hold that you, the death penalty of Saif is done with a sword, and it's done while the person is standing, and Kedar Samachus says it's done the same way that the non-Jews do it. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, I don't want to do that. That's not a nice thing to do. That's what it says in the Mishnah. There was some lack of clarity what he was objecting to. So in the Brisa, expounds. The Brisa says, Amalam Rabbi Yehuda l'chachamim, Afni yadeh shemisim yubel, siyav mo'eset, shemayam retayim chukasem v'atzilech. So Rabbi Yehuda says, I admit that my solution, which is to put his head down on an executioner's block and to use something closer to an axe, I agree that that's in physical terms a less pleasant way of ending a human life. But when I said it was minuvelis, when I said it was despicable in some way, what I meant was in the fact that it resembles too much the Goyim's behavior. And we have the rule, we're looking to avoid mimicking the Goyim. The Goyim do the execution standard. Now the truth is, more recent times, the Goyim were doing it more like Rabbi Yehuda. But at that time in history, the Goyim were doing it like the Chachamim. And so based on that, he wanted to move away from it. So the Gemara says that the Chachamim say, no, we're not concerned about it. Why not? Because anything we do because the Torah tells us to do it, we don't have to worry if the guy can do it also. In choosing behaviors that are in the neutral zone of life, should we light the spark on July 4th? So over there, the Torah is offering us standards. But in things that the Torah itself says to do, if it happens to be the guy can do it too, come up. Very nice, them and have them do some nice things. I'm rejecting everything that they do. But Bechukasim Oshelechu is only once the Torah stops instructing, then it gives us a general guide that if you encounter Chukim from the Goyim, that's not where you want to find your neutral activity. And so we're going to remove that from being neutral once the Goyim do it. But the things the Torah says to do, the Torah says to do. We don't have to worry about if it happens to be in some other culture that's doing this. So on that, the Gemara says, I'll prove it to you. The Chacham will say to Rabbi Yehuda, I'll prove it to you that this is the rule, because it says in the Brisa that the Tanya Sarf and Al Hamalachim, it says you're allowed to burn. Or we do burn, as a minhag of Klal Yisrael, we do burn the articles of the kings who pass away. And it's not a problem of Dach Yomar. According to you, Hechi Sarfir, Vaksir B'chuk Hashem Lachilech. According to you, what about B'chuk Hashem Lachilech? So the Torah is that the Torah told us to do it. Because there's a pasuk by Tzidkiyus and Emma, Shalom Thomas, and the Mitzvah of Yisrach, Amalach, and Hashem came, Yisrach. So since this comes from the Torah, so we don't worry about the fact that it happens to have a parallel in idolatrous activity as well. So over there, the Rashi does not, he just says, Shofen Alam Malachim, Shemei Sumi Tosin, Akwai Tosmi, Shemei Mehem, Mishem Dachi Amar. And the Rashi doesn't elaborate to say that Dachi Amar is another issue. And there's no, it's a would seem, that over there they're assuming that Dachi Amari is B'chuk HaSeim HaSeim. And this would be a good source of the Rashi in Shabbos, who says that on the Stam Mishnah of Dachi Amari, he says that it comes from B'chuk HaSeim HaSeim. But they would seem to be getting it from this Gemara. But this Gemara, in reference to B'chuk HaSeim HaSeim, brought that Brisa, and brought it without saying, yes, the Brisa is Dachi Amari, but there's another issue with B'chuk HaSeim. We don't have the type of language we have in our Gemara, and it would seem that that Gemara is understanding the Brisa itself. This, when it says "Vayim Daki Amari," means that it's not the B'chuk HaSeim. So the truth is that we can pretty readily see where the difference falls in between the two Gemaras, because of what the Rashi and our Gemara used to define chukah. Rashi said that chukah sa'iv di kachavim l'shem avayis kachav. Rashi raised the bar very high of what the chukah sa'im is. He made Dachi Amari with a much lower bar, but that's some other thing what Sa'as Kamal saying. We don't even want to adopt their behaviors. But chukah, that's a word like a legal word, ceremonial activity. So chuk, something that they instituted with a lot of thought. So that's already has to be in the realm of Avodas Kachavim. They have to bring to bear Avodas Kachavim as the source for it, as the purpose of it. That's what we're rejecting on the level of chukah, of ceremony. But it would seem that is not going to go in the Gemara and Sanhedrin, because the Gemara and Sanhedrin is just talking about execution. And we're trying to say that, look, Rabbi Yehuda says executions, that's chukah sa'im. So they say, nah, we get it from the Torah, it's not a big deal. And in fact, same thing with burning the articles. So there's no real reason to assume that executions are the same as kachavim. I mean, and when the society, yes, it's true, Rashi says in Chumash that a court system of a society in some way expresses the what's at the heart of the culture, and so a Goyish court in some way is saying that their Avodah Zarah has the wisdom or the structure, however you understand it, of, and so in a certain way there's always a compliment to their Avodah Zarah of the culture if they're doing their legal things. But certainly it wouldn't be chukah avdi kachavim the same avodas kachavim to execute a guy who was a thief in Saudi Arabia or a murderer in Western countries. If they execute a guy, they're not saying that this is somehow the expression of the religion of the country. It's a criminal court and to keep civil society. So in this Gemara it would seem pretty clear that the standard of chukah, they're lowering the bar of what constitutes chukah, which is the chorban of chukah, that even things that are governmental behavior that expresses very much the norms of the society, the mores of the society, that's chukah. It doesn't have to be about dessert. So we can see why Rashi and Sanhedrin learns the way he does, and that excuses, in a way, the Rashi and Shabbos, because the Rashi and Shabbos, Adachi Amari, says, that's chukah. I mean, that's a little more than it says in this Gemara. This Gemara is saying it's still on governmental things. take it all the way to Dachi and Mari is another little step. But at least we know, we see where Rashi is coming from, that Chukah is a much broader category than just Chukah's Ojik Bechav, Moshem Arad Bechav. But the question now is, now that we see that other Mesechdis, other Sugis, seem to be moving, understanding Chukah in a much different way, so what tells Rashi that this Sugah is based, we'll say the maximum in this Sugah, it's always easier to answer a maximum than other. Because other parts when the Suri comes to Maskana, to say that it's Shalak Gilas, it's much more difficult than to say the Maxim is Shalak Gilas. That's the truth of the Rashi, to bring in the quality of Shas. They said, Harvey Pumman, the Gemara's Maxim is the Lord Leave the Hilfs. Of course, you give the other point of view a chance to ask its Kasim. We give it a forum for its Kasim. We don't give it a forum for its Maskana, but we give it a forum for its Kasim. So it would seem that this Rashi's understanding that this Maxim in Masechta Tavayi Nezara is the like Kehilchos Maxim, but and he has a system where that we understand the Torah's prohibitions differently. That there's two categories. One category is Chukah, and that includes specifically things which have an aspect of Avodas Kehilchos to them. I mean, we're not worshiping the idol per se, but doing a communal activity which is somehow is honoring that Avodas Kehilchos. We're honoring the king in the name of the Avodas Kehilchos, that kind of thing. So that qualifies as a chukah. And then a Dachei Mar is a much lower standard, which means more things are asa. That other behaviors, that's why Sasa Kamar Sayyim, that's not a chukah, it's not a developed principle that defines the essence of the society, but it's behavior, that's common behavior of non-Jewish societies. At a certain point, it we say, that's really Kamar Sayyim, that's not something we participate in. So again, so where's Rashi seeing in our Gemara this hard thing? So I have to go back to the Mishnah a little bit. And as usual, the search is the most important part, gets less time than the castle. But I think this is a model. Now, the search I'm just going to say now, this year is not in my Sefer Marbe Emunah on Avodah Zarah. It's from after the time of the publication of that Sefer. But the search I'm going to tell you now is in the Sefer. And I recommend very strongly that if you have one of my Svarim, that's the one you should have, the one I write is Zohar, because it's really very, very basic and helpful in a Masechta that does not have a lot of Achronim from the post-Rephaim era. So it's very helpful your service in the Abu. So this is. I point out in the Sefer a contradiction in the Rashi between how he explains Yom HaMitzvah in the Mishnah and how he explains it in our Gemara. In the Mishnah, Rashi says Yom HaMitzvah, so what happens? He says, what happens is, Kloima, Oisi HaYom Oivdin Avodas Kehilchos, that day they worship, they bring offerings, they serve the Avodas Zarah, V'hu Lahen Yom Eid. So he tells you first about the behavior. But they're doing Avodah Zarah behavior, and so it's a holiday. And rather than saying it's a holiday, and so they do Avodah Zarah, he says they do Avodah Zarah, so it's a holiday. And B'chem Yishon HaVashon, and it continues from year to year, Kol Yimei Benoit, as long as the son of that king is alive, they end up continuing this behavior of bringing the karbonis. But once the son dies, then now they have to be busy with the next guy. He can't keep celebrating all of them. So then they replace him. But in the Gemara, Rashi says, he goes back and he re-explains the idea. And he says, this is the idea. Palchibah, Rashi says, Oisin oisa yoim eid keva. So we hear the Gemara used the word Palchibah, which is what Rashi introduced in the Mishnah, was the Mishnah said, Yesh bo avodas kehilchos, which Rashi said means, they do it. They serve. Kolaima. I see a mitzvah of avodas kehilchos. So in the Mishnah, when it said that was Kavanah, it says service. We're referring to service, acts of service. In the Gemara, when it says Pachi, well, it sounds like acts of service. Rashi takes it away from that and says, no. Palchiba means Oisin Oisin Yom Eid Kevin. It means Palchiba is just a borrowed language. They don't really mean Palchiba. That's not the point of the Gemara. The point of the Gemara is not that they do the behavior. But the point is that they make it an official holiday. The clear state. Establish it as a holiday. And he doesn't even get back. Kol Yom Ebrei Ha'im Etachar. Through the lifetime of the son who replaced this man, so they continue celebrating his life for this holiday. So it's very interesting. So the Mishnah Rashi says it's the behavior. They're doing service, which constitutes a holiday. The Gemara says they make a holiday. He doesn't even get back to mentioning the service. And the Gemara used the word Palchiba, and he went away from it. And he, well, Palchiba, we've got most easily explained as the behavior, and he said no. It means that it's a holiday. So in the first in that book, as I said, in the Sefer Marba Muna, I developed the insight that in the early sugyas, where we had the idea that Hain Ve'edehem, we had the idea that it's a real holiday, and as a real holiday, the days before and after become part of one block, the holiday period. Whereas when we came to and decided in the Maskana Hain below Yedayim, no, the day of the holiday is one halacha and the day before is its own thing. That's because the holiday is really no such thing as a holiday. And the idea would be like this. Is there, does the Torah create a halachic reality of an Avodah Zarah holiday? It's really a question, b'chol, in the whole idea that a person can take an object, a human being. If a yid does it, it's even more powerful. You can't even waffle. But even when a guy does it, a human being takes an object and he decides that he's designating it as an object of veneration, and he does whether that's enough or he has to do an activity. But once he already bowed to it one time, that's it. That object is now a legal reality of an Avodah Zarah. It's now an idol. It's a false god, but a human being has the capacity with his mind to designate a thing as his idol, and the Torah accepts that as a reality. It's mainly a reality to create all kinds of yisurim and problems, but it's a halachic reality that this, he has that power. He made this thing into Avodah Zarah. And if you say that, then to take it a step further, you end up with the same question by the holidays. And the whole first paragraph starts with the holidays. When goyim make a holiday, and that creates these halachas, what is creating the halachas? Is it just, well, we don't want to give him the animal because he might, a holiday is a signal to us that it's a time when we know they're doing a lot of Avodah Zarah. Or if you know, a holiday is actually an essence. Just like he can create an essence of Avodah Zarah on this object, he can transform this chafetz into something that's an Avodah Zarah, with the Yisurim that emerged from that. So the same way that as a nation of Avodah Zarah, you see the way the Rambam introduces Huchas of the Chacham, that it's a tremendous insight into the Homo Sefer, that a nation that built around the Avodah Zarah ends up having its own Kaychas in the realm of Avodah Zarah. It has its own definition. It's more than now an individual, it's now a nation that created it, named it, the Dogger and Baal, whatever it is, and the whole nation is defined by that thing, defines itself by that thing. So they have the power to designate a national holiday, which will now become a Zman of Avodah Zarah. In certain ways, Zman is more sensitive than Chafotzim. So you could hear that maybe even if you hold that in Chafotzim, there is true of it is there, so to speak, but maybe in Zman not. But, so I'm not saying it's for sure how about telling the two Chakiras, but the second Chakira at least needs the first Chakira one side to say that the Chayfetz you could ask. Okay, if a Yochid can ask a Chayfetz, can an Uma ask a time a Zman? And that's now, and probably it only asks it within its own borders, has interesting halachas. But the fact would be that an Uma, which comes together, and they define themselves by a certain number of desire. And now they say, this is the day of the Baal, of Dagon, whatever their desire is, so that they actually have a transformative effect on time. Just like Lahavdo on the Tzara Kedusha is my Adam that the Rabbi Islam made. So on the Tzara Tumah, there's my Adam that they can make. And so the original Sugya in the beginning of the parak started out with the idea of Gideon, so I did Kacham. So they start out with the idea that it really is an aid. And then they talked about the why we use the word aid, because we're being mabathal and it's going to break them eventually. The end of history, where the nation has to answer for all its behaviors. But the point is, it's a nation that has a power. It's a nation that at the end of history has to answer for 3,000 years of behavior, because that's a multi-generational concept that they created in a reality. Right, so I always tell the kids in America when they don't understand this idea. What do you mean your tears were drying? For what? These guys had their tears were drying. The other ones are all dead. No, the nation had Abdus. The nation had these tears. So it's hard for them to understand it. So I tell them, on the ball team, they say this was a record. It for 100 years, it's the last time a guy hit this many home runs in one game, he was from the Dodgers, was 100 years ago. It was like, why did it have to do? Those guys are about dead a long time ago. But there's a concept. Everyone understands in the world that you can create some kind of an identity of a grouping. That grouping now lives forever. As you change the names of the players, but still the same team, some kind of way. And the world understands that. So the Torah respects in of a Uma, Shivamumas, that a Uma has that power. It has in itself identity. And that's really the understanding of those first few blocks of that the Uma has to answer at the end of history. That's really the underpinning of their ability to make a Yom Yudayim. Who are you guys? Yeah. Tomorrow can be new guys. No. This is France. It's France. And the end of France, we have a national anthem and we have a Independence Day, and we're France. And then at the end of history, Hashem says, okay, friend, why did he kill Joan of Arc? Why did she do it wrong? You understand? That's the point, that there's a Uma, it's a reality, it's our accepted reality, and that reality, maybe at least one side holds that Yudayim, yes, they can make that Zman, and they chose to define the Uma around the Avodah Zarah. So when they make a Zman to celebrate the Avodah Zarah, that has a Matthias in Halacha. It's a Matthias of Tumah, but it's a Matthias in Halacha. And so consequently, in the beginning when we thought that Hamvi Dam is one block, that was the idea. It's a real block in time they can create. The holiday weekend, they can create that date. That's a block in time. But in the end, when they say that, at the end of Gemara, it goes away from that, it says, nah, they do not have the Kayach, they can't do that. And so therefore, Edaim is only a simon. There's no real thing. There's no real idea that the guy can make that as. But we happen to know that that's the day when they all go to the church and they bring these offerings. So that's the time when you can't give him a behemoth because he's going to go bring it to the church. Not that there's actual defined time that they were able to do something transformative or real. In defining the nature of that time. And so that's really the maskana. So Rashi and our Mishnah and our Ches interpreted where we are, where the Gemara arrives. It's really, that was the maskana. But there's this other sheet that we're aware of. And we can revisit it once in a while, especially in the form of a maxim. As we said, the mark, we always give the sheet a chance to ask its kasas. So, and this is the sheet that we're aware of. We've been dealing with it early in the Masechta. We just moved away from it. But it's a present sita in our deliberation. So Rashi in the Mishnah starts out by saying that Yom HaMisa, he says, I say Yom Ardim HaVayis Kacham. That's the day when they do HaVayis Kacham. Which means that's what we call Yom Eid. Because they do the behavior, that's why it's called Yom Eid. Yom Eid is not its own reality, it's only the outgrowth of the behavior. And so it's a time when we can anticipate that behavior, so we shouldn't be selling them and all the halachas that we don't do. However, in the sugya, the Maxim came along, and he has a different custom. And he's asking like this. So the Maxim is coming from the view that it is a reality that happens, that they have the power to create an aid. And over here, and they're making it a holiday. And here's a very interesting holiday, because it's not forever. It's only lasts for the term of his son. So how does this work? So the way Rashi explains it here is, it's a Yom Eid Keva. It is a Keva. It is a Kvias. We view this as a Kvias. Of course, Kol Yom Eid B'noi Ha'Oy Metachtav, which he even used the words Oy Metachtav in the Mishnah. These are new words, because he's saying, what kind of, if you need a Kvias, what kind of Kvias is this? He says, no, there's man. His son is his representative, the person who stands in his place. As long as his son is alive, it's not that we keep the earth, you know, we keep bringing karbanos for the last guy until his son dies and now we're up to him, so we forget about the guy before. No, but the kvius is that as long as the man's son is alive, so the proper thing is to we make a holiday on his anniversary of his death as long as his son is alive. An interesting nafkamina with me, by the way, that the din of the Mishnah would work even if it wasn't his son. If he got replaced by another king, the din of the Mishnah would work, because he's still, it's his yahrzeit, so they bring karbanos. But this din of making it a young keva, in order to be a kvius of his mom, what's the kvius? As long as the son is alive, we honor him and the son, that family, by making this holiday. So then it would only be if he was really succeeded by his son. Real nafkamina Allah. But so Rashi's learning in this Gemara, where does he see in this Gemara that we're asking with the other opinion? Because the whole setup, the whole leader, now he said, why are you starting with Ramea and deducing from Ramea, right? Because the Gemara is saying like this, look, in the other system, it's not really a chassid, because in the other system, everything is simon. So, are they going to bring a lot of karmanos that day or not? Is this going to be a special the behavior of Avodah Zarah? Will there be more Avodah Zarah behavior on that day or not? So, if the Chachamim say, it seems to us that when there's Srefa, that's an indicator, and Rameya doesn't buy into that indicator, Miskafala. That's not going to tell us the whole thing about the chuppah. But in this other system where you have to actually make a kviya, and this kviya, halacha views it as a real holiday that's instituted in the time, and that time is now a national / religious holiday that this ummah makes. So this system was saying, so the Gemara understands, but no, this is what's going on. When the Chacham say, look, Sreifa is a chuppah. This is the logic. There's a chukah that's done, and that chukah, it's mistabed, and that's the kaveya. There's a thing that's done on this particular day when he died. They do a religious activity of burning his objects, and that installs the holiday. That makes the day into the holiday. The logic is very strong that if there's a thing called Sreifa that they do, Avodah Zarah. And that is the aid that they're making for Avodah Zarah. That's the process of installation. So the Chachamim say, when they don't do Sreifa, obviously it's not kicking in. There's no act of kvias. Where are you getting your young maid keva from? They weren't kaveya. So, but when they do the Sreifa, there's your kvias. So that logic is strong enough that we can even go after May and say, how can you disregard Sreifa? If it's a chukah, then that's compelling. That's the thing you do for Avodah Zarah. It's compelling. That logic is very strong, that if it is a chukah for Avodah Zarah, then that is the actual kaveya. And so that's such a strong logic that we can challenge Ramey himself and say, You see, they have a system. They have a chukah. It's a thing that's done. So if it's not done, why would you still be think that there's a Yom HaKavuah? Where's it coming from? So that logic is a logic that emerges, again, only in this system. If you need to do it, it could be it. It's the Havmin of the Sugya before. We don't really hold like this anymore. But we're bringing it back here to Yitzchak Kass. We're saying, if you need a Kriyas, and there's a Chukah, it's Misdavid. That Chukah is the Kriyas. So that's why this whole system of this Gemara is based on the idea that the Chukah is itself an Avodah Zarah thing. And the Chukah of Avodah Zarah, that's what's going to be the trigger to, when we do that act, that's the act of establishing that this king was a worthy king in the Avodah Zarah system, and worthy of being commemorated further, that act is going to be the act of the Sreifa. So I think this gives us the basic structure here, that this Gemara understands that. But in the meantime, we covered several various things. First of all, the whole idea that there are two systems. One system is that Chukah and the Halacha, the point of Rashi, would not be this way, because this is used only here in this Mashnah, who we don't hold like. So that the one system says Chukah is a real Avodah Zarah ceremony. That's why it's called the Chukah. And besides that, there's a separate Easter in the Torah called Loisasa Kamatzim. Right? And the second system, that second Easter disappears. The word Loisasa Kamatzim stops being a word of Easter. That's an expression. But this system, each one is its own Easter. This one is more Chama, because it's probably La Halacha. This one's not Bezraya, but the other one wouldn't be, for example, being Afghamina. The Achi Amari in this Easter would not, no reason for it to be Al Bezraya, but the Zari. But the whole idea is not the same way as the Chum, it's other behavior. And the other one holds that no, Dachi Amari, all of that goes under the Chukah same way. And so maybe sometimes it would be able to Zarah, sometimes not, I don't know if this one. By the way, in the Sugya of Dachi Amari and Shabbos, you see Rabbi Yehuda argues and says some things. A two Avodah Zarah that could be Dachi Amari. So also that logic in our Gemara, why would Avodah Zarah be a problem if it was Chukah same. That seems to be more, no, that's why Sath Kama same Dachi Amari. I think that a two Avodah Zarah that's already something more than that. In any case, and the other side is that we're going back is the whole idea whether there really is such a thing as Izeh, and whether there really is the ability to transform time, and that Umar of Avdei Kachavim has the power to make a Zman, that's a Zman of Avodah Zarah, within the Torah structure, that you have Mayadim, the Tzadah Kedusha, and then Lahavim, the other Umars have Mayadim, the Tzadah Tumah, that are viewed in Halacha in the same terms. Let me say one little word to sort of a yard of the armor, in the sense that it's now the winter season. So you know, it was an interesting thing when after 25 years they declassified the military documents from the 1967 war, and it's in 1992, so the Yosef Nema, they printed this declassified document that Moshe Dayan, when he captured the Hermon, when he sent to headquarters asking for permission to capture the Hermon, he wrote a memo, and the memo he wrote, it has strategic value, and also it has skiing. We don't have any other place to ski. So they were making crazy of it, that was a consideration. But the truth is, you see in the Torah that of all the properties of Israel, the Torah spent a lot of time on the Hermon, and it introduced it in a very interesting way. The Parsha Torah said, "Sidayim yikru l'Hermon Syria." Now, as we call it Hermon, the Sidayim. There was Tsar and Sidon, those were the neighbors, they were part of today's Lebanon. They called it Syria. The Hamari Yikulai Smir. The Hamari call it Smir. Then in Parsis, in the later Parsa, there's a mountain called Sion, Sin Yud Alfnun, and the Gemara says the Chulin, that that's a fourth name for the same mountain. Today they use this, all the names of different parts of the mountain, but in the Gemara Chulin says that these are four names for the same mountain. Klal Yisrael calls it Hermon, and these other three humans call it other names, and Lalamdecha, that's Chaviva, that's such a Chaviva thing that other nations have names for it. So, a very interesting question, which is, Rashi says, what is Snir? Hamari Karmo Snir. Rashi says that Snir is a word, a Kanani word, which survives to his time in German, Rashi says, as Schnee. In other words, the word Schnee in German is a descendant of that word Snir. Who shall it belosh and Askar is a belosh and Kanan. Unbelievable. And now we, 1,000 years after Rashi, can be made that it survives into English as snow. So there's some incredible siyat and dismay on this word, that no matter all the permutations in language over time, but somehow this sound survives. Right? And Rashi finds it noteworthy. It's the same word, he says it's the same sound. So what's Nagaya this whole thing in? I mean, why is there such a siyat dismay? It's an interesting question. And why does Rashi have to point that out? So I think the assertion is like this. Every other one of these names is a translated name. Sirion is not the transliterated, it's not the sound. Sirion is a Hebrew form. And it comes from Sar, which is majestic, ministerial. And Sirion means it expresses that. Sion is from sea in Hebrew, which is a high peak. And Sion means it expresses elevation. And Hermon, for sure, is Hebrew, is our word. And Hermon is already language related to Kedusha. And that it has an inspirational quality to it that already is in the realm of Kedusha. So why is it that the Torah so that means that those other Umas were not calling it Syrian, they were calling it the equivalent in their language. And the Torah translated it. So why did the Torah translate two out of three non-Jewish names and not the third? Right? This leads to a larger question. When does the Torah choose to translate? And when does the Torah choose to leave the sound the same? Like Avimelech is clearly a translation. Whereas Paro, we know from history, is not. Right? And if anything, it's a little bit of a joke on him, because in Hebrew, Paro means he's a bad guy. Parua is a wild man. And so the fact that we leave the sound and spell it in a way that gives the guy a dick, very different than how we treat every mouth, right? So what's the system? So I want to make the argument that this is what this Rashi means, that the Torah only translates a thing that has an insight to it. And so Moshe Rabbeinu was contrasting and showing you how different cultures levels of their appreciation of what Hashem put into their brief. So the Amorim, or from the Shiva women, the Shiva Amorim that we have to eradicate, because they are so shallow that all they look up, snow, oh, snow. That's the name of the mountain, snow. Yes, okay, we can all look up and see the snow. But that's all they got. Alright? So we say, those guys, get rid of those guys. And the Torah is not going to trouble to translate. And Rashi says this, it's the lesson asked guys, and that to this day we have the same language as they were teaching this lesson. To come be in this world and just see what's there, we don't need you. We don't need Umas for that. The Shiva Umas, which is the Klai Song in some ways, the things that Sam wants for the Shiva Umas, but not these seven Shiva Umas. I don't need them. The guys look at snow, what do you see? Snow, get out of here. Okay, next. This other Umas, they see seal. They see elevation. They see height. At least they're getting something. Right? But they don't even mention that woman by name in the puzzle. But then the Tzidonim, we give them covered, they call it Sirion. They see majesty. That's really more mechubah. And you see later that the Melech Tzur was helped in building the base of Midrash, Tzara and Sidon, they're all more elevated Umas that the Torah records the insight, what they got from the mountain, or something significant. And then we say, Charmon, that's already, to see the Kedushin in that, that's already a Kaiser. That's the highest number. So that's all, so you see that, we should understand that there is an Akuda of the Torah Taka is Mispar on this thing, that they made this mountain with the beauty from the snow, but up the snow level, we can all see that level, but from the snow up to the elevation, up to the majesty, up to the Kedusha, that this is something that is very special. Nachas Sapaisha, big Zachia for us to have it. And Sam should help us, that we should have all the Chalakim in Yisrael, and we should have it with everyone keeping the Torah in Yisrael, appreciating it. Alpita, Herbie, Amen.